They see me rolling.
They hating. Patrolling. Trying to kiss me riding dirty. Hey. Kiss me riding dirty. Hey.
Oh, that's instead of the yeah. What is that? What's that thing called?
My little jingle.
Yeah.
That's the jingle.
That's the jingle.
So I left my my stylophone at home today because I took it to New Orleans with me. So
yeah, so if you're wondering why you can hear everything well this time, this episode, it's because Joe didn't blow your eardrums out to start out with. So we'll apologize. We'll do it extra loud next time.
Oh, no. I'm going to put it in the edit.
So you've already heard it.
Hope you liked it.
Welcome to Hashtag Set Life. Today we have with us Caden Bryce, an actress, and she is going to spend some time with us chit-chatting a little bit about life on set. I am Bradford, your host, with our co-host Joseph.
Yes, sir.
And we are ready to go. So, I want to know a little bit about, like, what is your relationships with movies? How did it really start for you? Like, were you a fan of watching movies growing up? What kind of led you towards?
Okay, long story short, because I could go on.
We got time.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm gonna stretch it out anyway. Okay. So I'm just going to start with long story short. I was doing theater, and I liked doing theater. Like, mm-hmm. But it wasn't anything that I ever thought, like, oh, like, I want to try and, like, do this, like, as a job, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, it was just fun. And then while I was in a production, one of the moms of one of the girls in the theater, like, kind of asked me if I wanted to get into film by doing, like, a short film.
Okay.
And so that kind of just built up, and I kept, like, auditioning for more roles and everything, and then I just stuck to film. I stopped doing theater.
Yeah.
How old were you when that happened?
When I started doing film, or acting in films, I was 13.
And when did you start acting on stage?
I was a baby.
Really?
I was really little. I was doing dance.
Okay.
Like, ever since I could walk.
Okay, what type of dance?
Ballet, jazz, tap. Oh, I never did lyrical. I never got to it.
Never got to lyrical?
Hip-hop.
They didn't let me do lyrical. They didn't call it hip-hop. They just called it jazz and then blended the two. Yeah. Me personally wouldn't even be able to define to you the difference between the two.
Yeah. I couldn't tell you. I just remembered they're like, do all of them.
Yep, do like, this. Chasse left, chasse right.
I actually don't like this.
Right, but I loved the audience, and I loved the excitement you get from, mm-hmm. you know, like, the performing itself.
Yeah.
I just definitely didn't want to dance.
No, yeah. It was fun for the time being.
Right,
but
yeah.
I did that, so I was dancing for a little bit, and then my brother was doing theater.
Okay.
And so I don't remember how old I was, honestly, mm-hmm. but I had to be like...
Alfie was doing theater already when you were dancing, so
yeah, it's just so natural. I was like, he was doing, like, Shakespeare. I remember it was like...
Interesting.
I don't even remember. It might have been Macbeth.
Okay.
How old was he?
Dude, he was little.
Elementary school Shakespeare.
Because he's 3 years older than I am, so if I was 7...
Right. Yeah, that's young for Shakespeare.
Yeah, 10 years old
it's
Shakespeare.
It's hard for me today.
I mean, that's about when I started reading Shakespeare.
Yeah.
But that's me. Like, and I was... Like, I did that on my own. Like, yeah. I wasn't exposed to it through my parents or anything. But 10 is when I also personally started doing theater, through community theater.
That's what it was. It was right. Like kids, okay. Youth... theater.
Yeah, but we definitely were not doing Shakespeare.
It was really cool, honestly.
How many theater productions did you do? Did you do any film? Was it a congruent thing, or did you kind of stop theater and start looking towards film?
I think it was like I did like my last like play, and then I like booked a
Peaced
film
out.
Job, and I was like, all right, I'm wrapping this up.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So it much effort goes different. Into the theater, and it's worth it. It's a beautiful experience. But yeah, film is so visceral and so right now and mm-hmm. so
yeah, also
done and over that
yeah.
It's that instant gratification that society mm-hmm. is now so used to. So
yeah.
As a performer, did you what was the experience like transitioning from your audience being not only visible but further back to then a performance with like a camera 3 feet from your face and 10 people staring at you? while you did that?
I liked it so much more.
Really?
Which is interesting because I know, like, when you do theater, like, everyone's like, oh, like, the audience's reactions and everything, like, that's what, like, fuels you and it energizes you and everything.
Yeah, but it takes so long to get there.
Yeah, I didn't like the process.
Yeah.
Which, it's a really fun process. Mm-hmm. It, like, meeting the cast and, like, I feel like you build more of, like, a family.
Yeah.
With your castmates.
In theater, definitely, yes.
In theater, yeah, because when you do a film, like, you're like, oh, hi, like, nice to meet you, like, let's film a scene.
You better already be in your character.
I'll see you maybe at the premiere.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and there still is a family, like, it's clearly more temporary.
And
yeah.
It's a different set.
You can feel that. Like, day one is a whole bunch of strangers outside of, like, this is a small community here in Michigan, so mm-hmm. there's a high likelihood that you're going to know somebody on set, right?
Yeah.
But outside of that, largely, you're all strangers in a pond. And by day three, it's, you know, there's just, like,
a whole different
everything
dynamic.
Is starting,
starting
by
to
the
merge
end of,
together,
you know, week two, you know, it's like, oh, man, I can't believe this is almost over.
I miss you guys.
But in theater, 2 weeks is nothing.
No, they're just getting started.
Right.
They're but still doing their, like, meeting everyone,
warm-ups,
the circle.
Yeah, but in theater, you know, they're maybe they're meeting 2-3 times a week tops.
Right.
And with film, you're
every
head
day.
Over heels plunged in.
Yeah, 12
stuck
hours.
In these small
sometimes,
places with people. And
most of the times, you don't even, like, get to rehearse your scenes.
Right.
Right, a lot of times you're there. And, okay, so that brings us to a thing that we are very adamant about here at Hashtag Seth Life, which is block, light, shoot.
Yeah, block, light, shoot.
Mm-hmm. Which would marry a little bit of the theater in with the film, but
I mean,
in
that's
film,
where I learned blocking.
Yes,
I learned
of
blocking
course.
In theater.
Yeah, same.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but there's so much, like, when directors are trying to get the proper emotion out of the actor,
mm-hmm.
the emotion, the emoting, that's one stage of it. But, like, knowing where to be and how to sell that,
right.
what position to be in because of where the camera is and how the lighting is affecting that and everything. Taking the time to do that before rolling, before costume, before makeup, so that everybody can be on the same page, not just the actors and the director
mm-hmm.
or the art department and the lighting, but camera and everybody cohesively.
Right.
Doing
so
that.
From a strictly acting perspective regarding the blocking, how often before cameras rolling, before you are performing,
mm-hmm.
how often are you given that opportunity to walk this scene?
How much of a walkthrough? Cause
so,
I feel like,
yeah. So this is this, and I just recently finished another project and, you know, it was a situation that I run into often where I ask the directors, to block it out.
Mm-hmm.
I want the scene blocked so that...
And it should be a walkthrough of the whole scene. Not word-for-word dialogue,
I'm getting
but
there.
Movement for
I'm
movement.
Getting there.
Yeah.
So let me elaborate my point here.
All right.
I asked the directors to do a blocking, and we know that that is for the camera team and for the G&E team, but most importantly, it's for the actors. So oftentimes when I ask for blocking, I get someone holding a script and then reading the script out loud to me. Well, we've all read the script.
Right.
As an actor, you know your lines, you're coming in. What you need to know is at what point do I cross frame? At what point do I sit down? It says here I have to grab a phone. Or
mm-hmm.
if there is no action in the script for you, what is my stage movement? You know, what am I busying myself with, right?
Yeah,
right,
precisely.
You know?
People are going to get bored.
Well, like, in the agency, when we all worked on that show together that
mm-hmm.
should hopefully be out next year, the agency, an improv comedy show, Seth's comedy
mm-hmm.
show here in Detroit. Look for that. But regardless, the way the writers wrote it, like, a lot of the scenes that I was in personally, there was a lot of action before there was my reaction or any dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to ask anybody questions
mm-hmm.
yeah.
about that. It was right there in black and white, in print. Now,
yes.
if that wasn't clear enough to me, there were plenty of people there for me to talk to about it, and they made time to talk to me about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was written clear enough for me to interpret it into a way that worked for the character.
Yeah.
Have you found yourself ever where you're in the middle of a take and let's say it's a longer scene, right? Mm-hmm. Something that's not half a page. We're talking page and a half. You know, it's going on. But then you get towards the end, and you know what you're supposed to say, but all of a sudden you're not exactly like, shit, wait a minute. Am I supposed to walk off? Those are the questions. Like that is what needs to be spelled out in blocking.
Yeah.
It needs to be all thought ahead. And if the director is just like, well, yeah, no, it's there. You have the script, blah, blah, blah. They overlook that. It's a simple question, it's not your decision to do that because they have to piece the film together. If you, as an actor, are like, yeah, fuck it. No, I'm going to go out the front door. But like you were supposed to go in the kitchen because.
Yeah, and then they're like, why is she walking out the front
exactly.
door?
Exactly. So like that all has to be orchestrated. And that's why blocking is so important, because if you know what you're doing, you're not going to be inside your head while you're remembering the dialogue. And then, oh, shit, what was I supposed to do? Mm-hmm. You know, we had an instance in this last film, and this is why it's so important. There was somebody who. We had waited forever for set decking, and then we were rolling, and someone had said, wait a minute, we forgot this prop. So there was a whole thing where we needed to get the prop in there. There was a big deal made out of it, right?
Yeah.
And then we shoot these two scenes, and then we get to the exit because we shot it in pieces, and we're getting to the exit, and I'm watching them all leave, and I'm like, why is that prop so sitting on the floor? I was like, is it important? You know, you guys stopped everything and like, oh my god, and like, okay, see, this is why I asked you to block, because the actors didn't know. They knew this scene, they knew that prop may have been important in the script. It's not like they're not familiar with what needed to be done, but in the moment I wanted to get my performance right, I wanted to get this right. Like,
that's hard, but
you
like
you need to take those questions out of the element, out of the equation.
Yeah you do. I agree with you guys on that. But also, like, as an actor, like, the props aren't your responsibility, but if you're holding them, you, like, it's part of your character.
Right.
It's part of the storyline. So you should be asking those questions.
No one was actually holding it. It was in a previous scene thrown on the floor.
Okay.
And the only engagement after this whole interaction was that it was supposed to be grabbed because it's supposed to be with them the rest of the movie.
Okay. And they didn't grab it.
And they left without
grabbing
it.
They made sure they got it in there, but they didn't grab it.
Nobody.
Nope.
Right, because they established some opening blocking and then didn't get past a certain point, and everybody was just... And see, here,
that's the thing, too. That's
where it is. This is what he's talking about. Like, you, as an actor, need to be so in the know of what needs to happen so that you're allowed to make choices of what can go on between what's necessary.
Yeah.
Because that's it's where you're crazy. Performing. Yeah. Right? You need to hit your marks, not just like, this is where the camera is going to be me for focus, but I need to have this in my hand. I need to.
You need all the ingredients to make the cake, and then you can frost it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
add some sprinkles. By the way, Caden brought some brownie cookies today, and they were freaking phenomenal.
So good.
Definitely did not make them from a box.
Don't matter. They were delicious.
So delectable.
I did add in the crispy chocolate on the outside. Though,
oh,
so,
yes. I tasted the chocolate chunks.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Watching this, a cookie. Like, a chocolate chip cookie.
Any other guests, if you're listening
we like
for reviews to see what you need to bring to the table?
Gonna like, they're going to be like, damn, yeah. Kane went on. She got cookies.
She set a precedent, and you all need to deliver.
No.
It doesn't have to be brownie cookies, but I like snacks.
So, Caden, how do you choose your roles? Is there a process that you have? I know, like, you know, we take what we can get and what's available, what's out there. But, I mean, like, ultimately, when a project is brought to you or when you learn about a project, what are some of the things that you look for when deciding to accept a role?
Commercials I mostly always accept because commercials are cool. Mm-hmm. Just, you know,
they're very trying to relaxed, be a working actor. They pay.
Like, exactly. Sometimes they take a while for pay, though. But
they
I mean,
do.
Yeah. Net 30,
or
60 more.
or more.
Yeah. But as long as you get it, you know.
But they're the most reliable most of the time.
Yeah.
At least, you know, you can be like, oh, well, at least I know it's coming.
Right. Like, it's on the way.
It'll be there.
Yeah.
Just has to go through red tape.
Yeah. I don't know. For roles like now, I guess like I don't really want to play a role that like doesn't really have a lot to do with the script. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's kind of just, you know, like, she's just there. Like, sure. I want to play roles that, like, actually
something that has a little bit of meat or content, yeah, or somewhere you can make a difference of some
notably
kind.
Notably supporting the story so that you know you're going to not be lost
in some way. In some
edit,
way. Or if they have, like, a really, really good personality that, like, I haven't played before.
Okay.
Like,
okay,
that would
nice,
be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Something challenging out of your wheelhouse, mm-hmm, or just different for you?
Just different, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I just need to.
Is there a favorite stuff. Character type that you have portrayed, or any character type that you'd love to do?
So, I don't know what I want to play. I've been asked that question before.
Yeah.
And I really, like, thinking on it, I can't say a specific thing that I'd.
Okay,
like
so
a
it was
I'd
a two-part question. So what you're
play.
Answering is you're not sure what you would
what character
want to
I'd
portray.
Play. My
so,
favorite character that I've played,
yes,
probably the most fun that I had,
mm-hmm,
being the character, was definitely Riley on the
okay.
agency. Because, I mean,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, you could
like,
definitely tell you had a lot of
I
fun
mean,
with
she
that.
Was like a sarcastic, like, side-eye, like, stoner intern
yeah.
girl
yeah.
that really just didn't care about anything.
But who was also kind of one step ahead of the
but, like, also, like, didn't say, like, nobody
way.
Knew, which I really liked about her. She was, yeah. like, she didn't want to tell anybody.
Right.
Because she didn't
she was
want
no gloating, a little, liked leaving things unspoken.
Yeah,
yeah
she was
well.
Just a spy.
I mean,
she was just a spy.
Your mom and her best gay buddy wrote that for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
That's why I fit
she's
Otis so well. They wrote that for me.
She's like, never written a role like that, like, for me before, though. I think this was, like, the first project. I mean, I was
yeah.
in A Holiday I Do. She did write that.
Yeah.
But this was, I think, the first characters, like, that she took the people and she kind of, like, took
thought
out
about
bits
the
of their personality and mm-hmm. then added it onto
yeah,
them.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that was a lot of fun.
Riley is not who you are, but...
I hope not.
But a caricature.
A little bit's okay.
It's like, it was a really funny caricature of elements.
Exactly.
Of
it was,
you.
Like, vamped
so, yeah.
up for everybody, I think, in little
yeah.
ways.
Brilliantly done, too. I loved reading those scripts every time they came in. It
yeah.
was a lot of fun, and I hope we get to make season two. That would
yeah.
be great.
Me too.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
super excited.
Oh, yeah. So let me see. So that was about choosing your roles.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have any questions? While I think of something here.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, so one of the roles were... that you were in that where we first met and you were younger was originally called The Millionaire's Club, but Dan Carey's first project what did it end up being called?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If Nothing Changes.
Yeah, that's
if
it.
Nothing
that's
Changes. And you played the younger sister, and there was this. So this is kind of I thought of it when Brad was talking about like longer scenes and stuff, and there was mm-hmm. this one-er that it started off in the bedroom and then, like, kind of followed you mm-hmm. out through, and then, like, the
that
ambulance arrived and the parents were right. Yeah, that was such, it was like an 8-minute scene.
Yeah.
And it took us probably 6 hours to do.
Wow.
And so, how did you feel about that? Like, going through that process at such a young age? And I mean, mm-hmm. you had obviously been in acting for a while. But you were, what, 16, 17?
Yeah,
this was years
I think I was
ago.
17.
Right, yeah. So
yeah.
How was that? Because for me as a gaffer, it was trying. Because every take
like
I had
itself?
To make lighting adjustments because in the budget we really didn't have time to properly.
Yeah.
So how did that scene itself, not the project, but yeah, just that scene.
That scene, I mean, that scene
it
was
emotional.
Tiring because
yeah.
It was like a drug overdose type
okay.
of scene. So I think like physically it was just draining.
Mm-hmm.
Like just doing it over and over again.
So, like,
and Dan
she had
was carrying
seen
me,
her brother
so that was
overdose.
Kind of, like,
so then she overdoses and he tries to rescue her. The parents come home. Which is, yeah, and you were almost catatonic the whole time.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
still had to be
I was, like,
very
spitting.
Trying.
I was like,
yeah. yeah.
It's really cute.
You did a great job, but
thank
it was
you.
Just so... It was involved.
Yeah.
Like, the amount yeah. of space we had to do for this through the house was not at the best
mm-hmm.
house to be shooting that scene in.
I mean, out
there was
all
nowhere for
say
anybody
is
to
anything,
hide.
Anything in the film industry, like, if you're thinking about it, it's not for the weak.
Agreed.
Like, you really have to want to do it.
Yeah.
And
if you love
about
and if you
because,
love it,
It's okay.
You're playing every day. You're not really at work.
Exactly.
But it is not for the faint of heart.
No,
I've seen tiring. People cry. I've seen people
I've
break.
Cried.
Yeah. I've cried too.
Almost. I've cried on sets, I'm pretty sure. But,
I 100%
you know, you
have.
Just you keep going because days can get really long.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, having
and there's
a
lot of different ways that your energy can be drained.
The difference, yeah.
You know, even it can be from overexertion. It could be from sitting.
Mm-hmm.
You can just lose all energy and motivation. So it is, it's a job where your will and testament has to be there.
100%. It's a collaborative art. So it's all those different people, all those personalities have to come together. And sometimes yours rubs wrong with someone, even if it's just one person. Everybody else doesn't even notice it, but it just drains your spirit that day, you know.
Yeah, I always try and keep a smile on set when I can.
Yeah,
it's like,
helps a little bit. I do my best as well.
I have a pretty strong center of Zen, that, and I just try to, and it doesn't always work because when I waver, which you'll know, but I try to be this calm center that no matter what you come to me with, I'm like, okay, well, here's what I think. Let's go look at it deeper, and I just try to be this center of calmness so that people are freaking out around me, they're like,
well,
Joe's gonna get us back on sale. And I try to do that, but let me tell you, when I come home, there's a lot of stories I was like, just listen, freak the fuck out.
The stories that I have from, I need
nobody
to
on
to
set
sometimes.
Would know I freaked out because in my head I'm going, but I'm like, okay, I'm trying to be that center.
Yeah, you know? It's definitely important, and I'm sure this goes for many different careers, many different jobs and experiences, but to be able to have someone to vent to.
Oh, yeah. Brad and I pull each other aside so much. Like, okay. Woosa.
I think the important is, like, the difference between, like just venting, which is borderline complaining or straight-on complaining, but the difference is it's a matter of, like, something you've coped with and already facilitated through, but now you just need to,
Just want to get it off your chest.
Yeah. You're building a little bit of a boil, and you want to let some of that steam out.
To
and
clear
you just,
your head again so you can
for
keep
the
that
next
cool.
Day.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just the next scene.
Right. You just need a little mind dump.
Exactly.
You know, just a little full
exactly.
Of that. But I love being on set, and it's like my favorite place ever. So
it's
right. You take the good with the bad.
I'm addicted to it.
So
it's set rush.
You've accepted a role.
Yay.
What goes through your head at first? Like, what's your process for preparing for a role?
Like, what step? Right after I get it.
Yeah, I mean,
like
you don't necessarily
like
have to not necessarily step by step, but like, you know, you've probably read, if you've accepted the role, you've probably read the script already, so it's not your first time, but now it's like, okay, this is going to be a thing.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to like, is there a process you have for finding a character or how you're going to go about delivering it, or are there any anything that goes through your mind that maybe is not on the script? Is there just like what headspace are you in when you're considering becoming a character?
I think backstory is like really important, if not like one of the most important things for like becoming your character and thinking about their whole life.
Yeah.
You know, like you have to think about I'm this character today and I was this character from the day that they were born. What's their like story, like their 100%. Lifeline, how does that play out? So that, I think about that a lot. After I've highlighted the script, for actually memorizing, I'll record my lines.
Oh, okay.
And that helps too, because honestly, hearing my own voice, I repeat it and I can think of different ways of saying
different inflections.
And it just helps me get in the flow of
and
it.
Sometimes
a
line doesn't come off your tongue right the first time.
So
you say
and
it,
I hear
it
and I was like,
I
can put a little bit of an emphasis on that word.
When you say you record it, do you like just take one seat and like just read your lines and then listen to it like sequentially and just kind of ruminate over it?
Yeah, so if I'm like just freshly learning my lines and it's recorded, I'll just record all of my lines.
Interesting.
I'll usually start from like the first scene that I have and I'll learn that scene and then I'll go on to the next, and I'll repeat the first scene, and then I'll do the second scene, and I'll just kind of
very keep cool. going.
Oh, so you like stack? You like keep repeating the
yeah,
process?
Yeah, for what scenes I know that I'm filming. I don't mm-hmm. memorize a whole movie.
Right. Yeah, oh, so for the day.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Because I had enough of that with doing plays. That was too many lines yeah. to memorize in. Yeah.
It's that's understandable. Yeah, it's overwhelming, that's for sure.
Yeah. So that, and then also, like, I don't know, for my character, I'll just try and, like, sit in their headspace. I'll journal.
Okay.
Like it's their journal.
Oh, yeah, no.
I've heard some actors will, like, listen to music that they think the character might listen to. Do you ever explore that?
Yeah, I'll do, like, definitely, like, different genres and mm-hmm. different artists. I'll just put, like, one person on, usually, like, their station.
Sure.
But, you know, in my room.
Yeah.
Whatever, I'll do stuff like that.
Okay.
Very cool.
So, I think that's the main things that I do for getting into characters. I don't like dress like them or anything.
No, yeah. You're not in the method of acting.
No, not yet.
For me, I like to, when I know I'm like, okay, here's where you're going to be, they send it to me. I like to read them through enough to where I can recite them off my head.
Mm-hmm.
Then I don't look at them again until I'm on set for the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and then I will remember them for the day. And I take 20 to 30 minutes first thing when I get there to mm-hmm. just pound it into like my own pressure. Head. And then I look for opportunities to rehearse with whoever I'm in the scene with.
Right.
And if I get any, great. If I don't, I know I'm still prepared, right? And I'm very much a character actor. So mm-hmm. when they say action, I flip a switch and I go to where I'm mentally prepared. Like, this is that guy. This is, and I definitely... It's not like an out-of-body experience, but it's an out-of-me experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm definitely not being myself. I'm not doing anything that I would do. I'm not reacting in a way I would react.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because when practicing these lines, I'm consciously making decisions of, this guy's saying this because of this. And I'm, you know, so I become a little bit that person. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it method. Definitely
no,
character.
But definitely, like, I feel that. Like, if you're doing a scene and they're like, okay, like, reset and, like, not even if they reset right away, but, like, I don't usually break character.
No.
If we're doing the scene again, I don't look at people.
Not until
or talk
that
to
scene is done. Right. Yeah, I'm very much.
That mind space.
Not unless it's somebody I'm acting with asking me a question about motivation or trying to help them stay in the scene, then I can do that as in character almost. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't have to leave that mindset to answer that question because it's in that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
So. I had to start typing this down. I was going to forget it.
You're
In your experience, how often are you familiar with your scene partners before you get on set?
Not very often.
Yeah. And you've been on a range of set styles, right? So you've got a breadth of experience as far as the type of sets that you've been on and how things work.
Mm-hmm.
Is there generally and if not, is it something you would prefer? Like, would you prefer like a phone call or a FaceTime with like a, so? Let's say it's a film and it's you and two buddies, mm-hmm. and you know a good portion of the film is around your relationship. Would you find it beneficial, or do you find that it's been taken away from you? Like, what are the pros and cons to like trying to be friends with each other on day one versus you know week minus one, mm-hmm. where you have a chance to talk, or at least new relationships of any kind are always like they start awkward, right?
Yeah.
So
a little tenuous.
So like if it hasn't been often, how do you break through that to get comfortable with your scene partners?
I mean, I feel like most of the sets that I've been on, like, we don't usually have Zoom rehearsals or calls or anything before filming.
Not a lot of table reads.
No, I haven't done a table read in a really long time.
Really?
Honestly.
Very few and far between for me as well. Even just from the crew standpoint, even hearing about it. Because I always like to ask the crew, like, oh, what did you guys do with the table read? Well, I didn't have no table read. I'm like,
they're getting less popular, for sure.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. But, I don't know. I just try and be, like, as friendly as I can, as soon mm-hmm. as I can, to, like, make it not awkward. Because, like, you're already strangers. If you want to act like a stranger and, like, be shy and weird, like, it's just going to make it harder to, like, connect in the scene.
You got
to
come in, like, full acting mode
right off the bat. Like, ready to work.
Right.
Yeah. But I did notice, like, I want to say it would be easier if we had, like, a Zoom or, like, a call or something beforehand, like, for meeting people. But honestly, like, I shot a horror movie, a werewolf movie in Ohio.
Nice.
Called Bite. B-Y-T-E.
Dropping soon, right?
Dropping soon, hopefully soon. Somewhere. I'm not sure yet.
You never know where.
You never know. It's such a fun surprise. But, like, my like, best friend in it, we didn't meet, and we did a FaceTime, and the FaceTime call was kind of awkward, and we were both kind of shy. But when we got on set and we were in person together, like, right away, it was like, bam.
Oh,
like,
okay.
We had an instant, like, friendship connection.
Even though the meeting was awkward, you had that recognition once you were
That's true.
And you got the awkward shit out of the way right
That's
away.
That's true. So maybe the Zoom call did help.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One of the performances that I can think of off the top of my head that I've seen you in was the short, Trail of Dark Matter? The one in the laundromat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a series.
Right, but that's correct, right? Trail
of Dark Matter, yes.
And in that one, it was if I remember the episode correctly, it's just you and one other actress, right? There was no one. And
for that episode,
I can't remember her name because we shot her a really long time ago, but she was really sweet.
So really nice. was that a first time meeting?
Yeah.
With that?
Yeah.
Because that was remarkable.
It was a night shoot.
And
what played that so well is that it is a first encounter chance meeting.
And it is.
And
that
awkwardness and charisma all comes out and is made in that scene. And that was so fun to film. It really was, because you guys were just so naturalistic. And the lighting was powerful, but it was... I had to be subtle,
but it was
present,
very subtle.
And I had a lot of fun with that. Yeah. A lot of fun.
Yeah. That was a struggle. I'm not going to lie. Learning those lines.
So many lines.
Yeah. So for that.
Very dialogue heavy. Like straight monologue.
Upon
monologue.
The whole thing.
In the middle of a monologue.
We didn't cut. It was like 20 pages and we just did it in one take. I feel like for a lot of those takes.
It was, definitely. We did.
It was
we
wild.
Did huge, like 5 minute to 10 minute wonders of every angle.
Yeah.
Just going through.
Yeah.
So I know why.
If they messed up, they would just go back a line, pick it up, go. And
yeah.
Would,
that one was a lot to learn. Because,
when you're shooting like that, like I know why the production team does stuff like that. What does that do to your performance when you have that task ahead of you?
It honestly, I feel like it makes it better.
It's not
better until like the fifth take, which sucks.
You really have to
go
through
that. I didn't have all those rehearsal
immersed
times.
In it, and then you become part of it.
Yeah, and you repeat it so much.
Yeah. It worked really well because we had like all these different wides, and that's that five or six takes that it took them to really get into it, and now we're moving in, and it really just. Immersed you into
So when the budget and the
as
time
as a lighting technician I felt that on the set it was palpable
when the budget and time allots for it that's what you do you would do a rehearsal for half a day on the set and while you're doing that they're rehearsing dolly pushes and adjusting the lenses and the lights and then by the time you're burning film like you've had that preparation but I imagine knowing in the back of your mind that for all intents and purposes, right now,
this came out of nowhere. I'm so sorry.
We're recording this role because we intend to use it, right? Regardless of whether or not we do another, every take you intend to use.
Right, you're like, this is the
there's
take.
There's still something going on in your mind that's different from a rehearsal.
Yeah, it's growing. You're calculating. Your brain's like making this more natural. Like,
right.
How do I?
Right.
Yeah, it's tuning up.
You can and you can really feel it in that. In that episode, I like that series. I think the only thing I would change is the order he released them, but I don't know. You know, it's his creation. Obviously, he did it the way he intended.
Sure.
And I like how it came out. But there was some things that would have changed.
Are there any actors that you would love to work with?
Zendaya. I don't know.
Just want to be on the map, people.
Yeah, I won't be in Euphoria. I'm just kidding.
Are there any actors that
whose
style or career you find yourself watching to see the choices they make or how they approach things, or is there a number of things? Like how do you get inspired?
That's a really good question, because I feel like I have a lot of actors and like actresses that I really admire and like mm-hmm. like and look up to, but I don't really like follow them.
Okay.
That closely. You appreciate I probably
them,
should.
But you don't it's emulate
disrespectful.
Them.
Yeah.
Is it disrespectful? What's disrespectful?
I don't know. I'm just doing my thing.
You just.
Yeah, but I'm really bad with actors' names too, so that really doesn't help.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we're horrible with it.
Yeah. You guys are listening off like 50 different names.
Yeah. Google. Hello.
Oh yeah. Cheaters.
Yeah, but that's really bad, but I can't think of anything else.
No, that's fine.
Head.
No pressure. No pressure. Yeah. No, there's no actor. You'd be
I'm
like,
just
oh,
happy
be
you didn't of spout off like, oh, like, well, Meryl Streep's the bay, and like,
is there
oh,
any?
Kylie Bates
mean,
is amazing. Oh, yes, they are, but you're not like.
But everybody knows they're
I
amazing.
Worship
like,
these
I don't
people.
Need to list them again.
Right.
I really liked Jennifer Lawrence for a long time.
I
don't want to say liked. I liked.
Huge fan of
but I really like. Watched a lot of her stuff for a while.
Yeah, me too.
She's really a good one to watch because she's got so many different varieties to the roles that she's played.
Yeah.
And
I just watched a recent one with her as a
No Hard Feelings.
I
want to
see it.
Yeah,
so
I
good.
To see it.
Oh
watch it. Quite literally, she was like, I want an Oscar. I'm doing whatever the fuck I want. And this is the movie.
Yeah.
As she should.
It's so good.
And that's what I
she
love about
it. She beats the shit out of teenagers naked on a beach. Like,
oh my
straight
gosh.
Naked. Like, it's gorgeous. Like,
wow.
Not, it's not about her being naked.
Yeah.
Comically, it's beautiful.
It's that's why
it's
I like her
gold.
So much, I think.
That's
she's
what I was
so
gonna say.
Funny.
Fearless.
Fearless. Yeah. True, that one first, and funny.
Yes,
and she can also play serious roles. Like,
yeah,
so that's what I really like. I
touched my soul.
It's like, oh my god, I cried.
Yeah.
So that one's good. Joy is a
Joy's
huge,
amazing.
Joy's great
yes,
too.
Huge.
Yes.
Like she like
she
had
makes,
this run with Hunger
she makes
Games.
Wonderful
like,
choices.
She's
yeah.
the hottie hottie.
I mentioned on our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Passengers
see,
with
I
her and Chris Pratt. So good. She just makes really good choices in her career. She knows what she's doing. She knows what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not afraid to take the risk. And that's what performing is.
Exactly.
Is taking that and just running with it. Throwing caution to the wind and being that other person.
Mm-hmm.
And I love every time she does it.
Yeah. I'm trying to look she up that one movie her. I liked. Oh, yeah. Red Sparrow.
I was
oh,
just
so
about
good.
To say
I just,
that. When you said Fearless, I heard, listened to the whole thing about dude. When she talked about if she was going to go nude for the movie or not.
And you know what? And after that
I
scene,
loved that movie.
After that it was, scene, it's one of those decisions where it's like, yeah, that was important because it wasn't a... Nudity was important to the embarrassment of that scene.
Exactly.
It wasn't about the nudity.
To be there.
It
wasn't
was
just
about
like,
the
oh,
character.
We're going to throw in a random sex scene.
Right.
You know, we
no,
can't.
It
just
wasn't
cause.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
she wouldn't have done that.
In,
right.
Which is, you know.
In the comedy, that's kind of how they did it. Like,
yeah.
You know, let's make her naked. That'll be funny. Like,
right.
It was gratuitous, but it was.
Yeah. But it's comedy.
Still, it worked.
Right.
But this is. It's not what they did in Red Sparrow. It was for fully different. And yeah, if it's
different
for
vibe.
The role, yeah, she just.
And it fit so, perfectly.
In Red Sparrow, actually, like, my wife and I watched that when it first came out. But so good. Like, we watched it again on our anniversary trip to New Orleans. Like, we were not watching movies, but we saw that, and we were like, okay, yeah. We
watched
took a, yeah, we just took a nice long lunch, watched half of it, came, well, let's go out for partying. We came back after and watched it, fell asleep. It was such a good
it's
movie.
Really
it's long, but
yeah.
It's so good. It doesn't feel as long as it is.
Right.
It really doesn't. But yeah, we came home
yeah,
for
I agree
like
with
a,
that.
Came home for like a mid-afternoon nap, watched like, I want to say 45 minutes of it, and we both kind of
yeah,
fell asleep, and
like
then we restarted
two and
it
and
where
hours.
We fell asleep so. At the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, everything's 2.5 hours now.
All of them.
Everybody wants to be deer hunter, you know. But
yeah, but
quickly,
definitely Jennifer
the...
Lawrence. Oh, my gosh, what is the woman that plays Tammy?
In the movie Tammy?
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
So funny.
She's amazing.
She's another one who
her.
Likes to take different, like, okay, I know what people would expect me to do, so I'm going to try something different
yes.
with her performance
yes.
choices, and
she's
I love that.
Terrific.
She's so real. Like,
yes.
Her
yeah.
acting.
There's nothing I've seen her in that I'm like, they could have got somebody better.
Exactly. No,
never. Like, that's, she finds that role. She's like Bridesmaids.
Mm-hmm.
She the one. She needed to be the over the top, the one who shits in the sink.
Like, yeah.
Just perfect.
Takes the dogs. Like,
just everything.
Yeah. She had like 9 puppies or something from the wedding.
Yeah. Does anybody else want one of these? Because yeah. I took every, all, yeah. like all of them. She's good in everything. Thunder Force was ridiculous.
Oh my God. But I forgot about that movie.
So good. Because she is just, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
I just recently watched Identity Theft because I'm a big Jason Bateman fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Melissa McCarthy fan, too. And I waited a while because I'm not into, like, kind of stupid humor very much.
Was this your first watch or did you say it was
my first watch? It was my first watch. I'm not into the real stupid humor unless it has that intellect behind
mm-hmm.
it. And this one delivered.
That was a good movie.
Because mm-hmm. Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy are smart, funny, even yeah. when they're stupid.
Yeah.
Just right. like, what was it, Due Date with Zach Galifianakis
Dude, and underrated Robert Downey movie.
Jr. So underrated.
Underrated movie.
Because the humor, while being like fart jokes
yeah, and so frat boy humor,
has so much humanity in it. It's mm-hmm. so intelligent behind the stupidity of the jokes. There's realness there.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's what I look for in that kind of stupid comedy.
Would you ever want to do, like, an action role?
Yeah, like a
Marvel type thing. Like, would that be?
Would you take 6 months at the dojo
training?
Or, yeah.
I think that would be so freaking cool.
Right.
To like fly through the sky, Hell like yeah. up on the ropes, right? And be like, shh, and just doing like backflips and stuff. I'm so down.
Hell yeah.
Cause yeah, that would be fun. Whoa.
That's right. I've been doing it a shit ton.
But if that opportunity.
So that wouldn't ever be something arose, that would yeah.
Because I know really
not
cool.
everyone would be that excited about it, and you yeah. know.
Yeah.
That's like the cool thing about acting is to do shit that you'd never, and for them like
yes.
the idea what the watching someone it's my like
favorite part
Keanu
of
Reeves
is to do anything that yeah. I wouldn't do as a person.
Right. Oh, 100%.
Like when I played the racist guy on Melanin, like.
Mm-hmm.
They had all these people refuse to do this, and I actually rewrote the monologue and kind of stepped it up a notch. I was like, "Well, this is the character,"
mm-hmm.
and I wrote the monologue as the character. Like, step it up a notch, bring it to the table, yeah. make it effective, touching. It needs to mean something.
Yeah.
Like this guy that I was playing was spewing hatred. You need to feel that. You need yeah. to hate him for saying it.
Right.
If I didn't make you think I was despicable, I didn't do my job.
Right, if you watered it down.
Because that's what the character needed mm-hmm. in that movie, in that point, to really push home this narrative.
Yeah.
And if whoever did it, granted it was me, but regardless, if you didn't do it enough, the audience isn't going to buy why this guy hates this person or why society should hate this person. Mm-hmm. Right? Right. So stepping outside myself was the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
I got to play a caricature of people I'm like, yeah, this you're yeah. a piece of shit. Let me show you what I think of that. Yeah. You know, yeah. 'cause that's the fun in it, right?
Yeah, it's interesting too because I've heard like actors say they don't want to take certain roles. Like it's like too much from them. But
they're worried about how the audience perceives them.
Yeah, but I'm like, you just have to fully like just know like that's not you. It's acting.
Yeah.
And precisely what I'm saying.
That is kind of what I was alluding to when we were talking about Jennifer Lawrence, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, especially for, I don't want to say especially for, because it can be for male and female, the idea of attractiveness and how attractive you are today compared to, because the idea of what we find attractive changes over times. Like,
we don't have
Arnold Schwarzeneggers anymore. Like, our big action heroes aren't the big,
right.
you know, because things, the perspective has changed.
Yeah, they're more normal people.
So,
thank you, Tom Cruise.
With her taking, you know, roles that, you know, early on she was, you know, girlish and this and that, and then to be Joy, which was she wasn't playing older than herself, but she was playing washed out. Like the whole idea yeah. of that character yeah. was not beauty. It was motherhood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for her to be able to go out and go all in on that character without fear
Fearless.
Of like, people are just
yes.
going to forget that I, you know, and then to be able to come back from that and just
go
completely
right into
regain
a sexy
it.
Role. Yeah. Like, I mean, she, yeah.
Because I think that's important to be able to explore all the different things of what I can be.
Yeah, that's the fun of it. And I think it's fun, too, because it's like I don't watch a lot of action movies or like Marvel movies or anything, but I would 1,000,000% want to do one. Yeah. So I think it's fun that it's like I don't watch it that much, but like I can maybe create.
Yeah, absolutely. Other
people could watch and enjoy. That's the fun of movies,
and too. They'll make sure, you know, because you go through the training, like the idea of being able to spend a year and just learn shit. Like the fact that she got to learn how to like today, I think it was a hot one. She's like, yeah, I don't know, but I do go shoot bows still. I can shoot a fucking bow. And she's like half embarrassed about it, but why the fuck not? Like I would never have this skill or hobby until I had that role.
She
feels
like a nerd because she fell in love with something that she was pretending to be, and now it's become part of her. So she feels nerdy about it. And I get that, getting a little embarrassed, admitting to her followers that she's influenceable by her. You know what
right.
I mean? She's taking it the right way, though. She doesn't want to admit that things influence. And what you were mentioning, people don't take roles worried about how their fandom will take it.
Right.
No, don't be worried about how your fandom will take your performing. If they don't understand that you're an actor, and then you don't need that fandom. Right. Granted, exactly. Fame's a fickle bitch. You know, industry is definitely just as fickle, if not more so, right? But at the same time, if you're not taking those risks, if you're not comfortable in going outside yourself, you probably picked the wrong goddamn profession.
Yeah.
Right.
Part of my blast.
You're going to be embarrassed a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you should not be embarrassed. When I see actors, when the director's like, go harder, and they're like, I don't know how. I'm like, the inhibition is oozing off of you.
Yeah,
lose
it. Amp it up more than you think.
I want to see how far you can take it.
Exactly. Don't keep making them
Keep pushing. See,
tuning it up one.
If somebody says turn it up, I want to see 11
10,
first.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll I've got one last question for you.
Bring it down just a little bit. That was great, though.
And I want to thank you. Thank you for spending the time with us today. God, this has been a lot of fun. When it comes to auditioning, is there an approach you have to that, or what are your thoughts on auditioning? I guess another question would be: any more today? Do you find yourself doing a lot of in-person auditions, or is a lot of it tape send-ins?
I've not done an in-person audition in a long time.
All self-tapes,
Do you get provided sides, or do you have to choose something to send them?
I get provided sides. I rarely have to pick my own, like, monologue or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't like doing that.
Yeah, I don't either. I
don't think, like...
They hand me, like, a scene. Here's this guy. Brief two-sentence explanation, and here's... three lines in a scene.
That's
true.
But
that's not enough for me to explain.
Yeah,
like,
actually.
Give me the whole scene at least and let me do a part of the scene.
Do you tend to get character descriptions, or do you just get sides?
I get, okay, so like the last
three
movie
sentences,
that
not
I
a
auditioned,
character description.
Yeah, the last movie that I got cast in, I don't know if I can announce it yet.
Yeah, we can keep names out. Yeah, we can keep names out.
But yeah, so I sent in the sides, or I got the sides for the audition, and then after I booked the part, and I read through the whole script, and I read through the scene where my sides were at. I was like, oh, my God. Like, I would have done it so different.
Right.
Because I didn't have the context of what was going on. I didn't even know where I was.
That's what happened with one of mine. That one with...
I know.
Yeah. So, it's interesting because I would have changed it if I had the full script, and I feel like a lot of other actors might have done the same thing.
Right, so now you're casting the wrong person because you're getting the wrong motivation from...
So from your perspective on set as an actor, you would like to see what provided to actors? What would be an ask of you that you would want these filmmakers to provide when you're looking for... like, what would make your life better when you're considering a role like that?
Just, like, the important details.
Yeah.
Like, just a little tiny breakdown.
Okay.
Of what's going on. Not too much to give away the story.
Right,
like,
because they're trying to hold on as...
Movie.
Exactly, which is a whole different, like,
but, you know,
chill
it's
guy.
A little bit of trust.
Because if you miss an opportunity that you could have been perfect for because a little bit of information was withheld, who does that benefit?
Exactly. I don't know. It's hard, too, because most directors aren't going to be like, oh, we liked her, but we want her to tweak this. They're not going to email you back and be like, can you please do it over just a little bit? Some do, but not
I
a
have
lot.
Heard that it, but it is not often.
It's very rare.
It's not
so
often.
I just don't really like auditions at all.
No one does. I
no.
mean, I don't know anyone who like loves
it. Self-tape, it don't matter.
How many auditions would you say, if you were just rough estimate, do you send out in like a year period? If someone were looking at pursuing acting,
I don't know. I submit for like so many things, like a couple
so
projects
it's not
a week.
It's not countable.
Yeah, no, because you get so many auditions, and like I've said from like day one of acting, like submit and forget.
Yeah.
Because that's the only. If
That's
you like hold
advice.
On and you keep waiting to get a job, you're never going to be working.
Right.
You just
That's true.
Keep auditioning until you get something and then keep auditioning while you got that thing
yeah,
too because
just to
it's going
to keep stacking
be
it up. And if you put that hope and like I was really hoping I still wouldn't hear from so
you can be bummed about it, but you got to move on.
You got to move past it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which says send it and forget it.
Submit and forget.
Submit and forget. I fucking love that. High
yeah,
five on
thanks.
That.
Thanks. I can't take credit, my mom.
Well, of
that,
course, she's brilliant. She's brilliant.
I'm gonna have to try that.
Yeah.
Submit and forget. Well,
yeah, because you might get, you know, one or two, hopefully, out of the 10
and that's
auditions
that
you
send. And that's just a
so
callback.
You might get one
you know,
of
right? There's still more to it.
One or two out of 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Caden, thank you so much for joining us today on Hashtag Set Life. This was a lot of fun.
Glad you had fun. We had a great
I
time.
I appreciate it. Hopefully, you'll come back sometime and chat more movies with us and we'll discuss a little bit more about our weird lives on set.
This was super fun and I'm gonna have to find out how you guys like rewatching 101 Dalmatians.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah. Well,
absolutely.
You'll have to tune in when it comes up.
Yeah, yeah. We'll let you know.
And we'll have you back because this was good. This was a
oh,
good
yeah.
time.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
So thank you, everyone. You can email us with any suggestions for maybe questions that you want us to ask people who work in the film industry or, again, possibly what positions you'd like us to find people to come in and represent. You can email us at ufostudio.detroit@gmail.com.
That's right.
If you're looking to communicate with me directly, you can go to Instagram at Beeford Clark, and you can find Joe
on Instagram at chaotic artisan, chaotic_artisan. Just type in Joseph Sheldon Quick. There's not a lot of us. There's a lot of Joe Quick, so don't type that. But if you type Joseph Sheldon Quick, I'm pretty much the only motherfucker who pops up.
And if he's got a mohawk, you found the right guy.
Yeah, it's the mohawk guy. That's right.
Yes.
I was going to say, can I say my Instagram?
You absolutely can.
Okay.
Put them all out there.
It's Caden with a K, Caden.Maya.
Caden.Maya?
Yeah, so Kayden.Maia.
There you
on
go.
On the gram.
On the gram.
That's
Give
Caden
her
Rice
a follow.
Everywhere
and
else.
Again, look for A Holiday I Do, a very delightful.
All inclusive
Christmas.
It comes to diversity.
It's a Christmas rom com, and I gotta tell you, I'm not a rom com person like
me either, and I'm not a Christmas movie person.
I fucking love Christmas
this
movies.
This was hilarious.
I'm gonna force you to do a Christmas discussion one day, but not
only
this
yeah,
year.
Yeah, we'll do a Christmas episode.
But this movie
probably
put me
in July.
This movie there put me in the right season and the right mindset for the season, and I definitely highly recommend checking it out. It was very funny. And Caden was wonderful.
It is very hard Thank for me you. To get put in the mood for the season, and for reasons I digress and will not go into. But I agree with you. This movie, for someone who's hard to get in the Christmas spirit, especially so close to Halloween, because y'all are cringing on Halloween too much, it did do that for me.
All right. So we will see you all next time. Thank you.
Hashtag Set Life.